Accession number 27793, Mr. Jeffrey Goodwin, Reel 4. We were talking about the raid on the Birch's Garden in Bavaria on the 25th of April 1945. And then we got to the briefing, and you said we got to the point where he...
Yes, and so it would follow the same pattern. It would be, I think, generally speaking, the squadron, one of the squadron commanders would reveal what the raid was, what the target was. And of course everybody was very interested in
it. And that would be a map, would it, or a picture, or what?
It would be a large wall blackboard, sort of blackboard thing, and it would show all the routes to the target. And everybody was very interested because it was Birch's Garden.
And you knew it was Hitler's?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, everybody did, yes. Yeah.
Anything special about the briefing? You know.
No, we were given a target. We weren't given the target of the Eagle's Nest itself, which was really buried into the mountain. But just below were the SS barracks. So our target was the SS barracks.
But somebody else in the bombing stream would be bombing Hitler's headquarters?
Probably from another squadron, from another station. Because there were, I think, I think there were about 350 aircraft bombed at that time.
Now, we briefed in this briefing about the German defences in the area, or en route. So, you know, dangers, anti-aircraft areas you might have to avoid.
Yes, they did. I suppose the navigation officer did that. And they set out the routes going and the routes coming back. I suppose I didn't have much... You know, they didn't brief us very much because all we had to do was sit there and keep our eyes wide open.
And what would happen after the briefing?
In this case, the Birch's Garden trip was... this was early in the morning because it was... the bombing time was about 8:30 in the morning. So we left about something in the region of 5 or 4 o'clock. So this would be about 3 o'clock in the morning. And then we'd collect our kit.
Now, what was flying kit? What would you wear and what was flying kit?
Well, I wore, because air gunners don't have any heating, the pilot and the... people up front do have some heating, but the tail gunner and the mid-upper gunner, it's cold. You know, it can be 40 degrees below zero at 20,000 feet.
So what did you wear? Because, I mean, that's incredibly cold to us.
We wore silk socks. Silk socks to start with.
On your hands.
And silk gloves.
Oh, sorry, yeah, right, okay. Silk socks, silk gloves, yeah.
And then, I think, woolen gloves, and then leather gloves. And on the feet, we had fur-lined boots. And then we also had an electric suit.
Is that the Sidcut or a different one?
No. No, this was a special wired suit. I think the Sidcut was one of these fur-lined jackets, I think.
And how effective was this?
Well, it was a bit hit and miss because suddenly you feel your feet were burning, you know. You got hot and then you get cold. But, of course, you couldn't survive without it, really. Because we normally did operate at 20,000 feet. about.
Now, did you have a helmet and intercom in it?
Oh, we had a leather helmet with an intercom mask, which was also the oxygen mask. And we had a silk scarf. And on top of the electric suit, we had... I don't know what we had. I think we put our own trousers on top. You have to remember, you might need to escape.
The uniform trousers.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. And flying jackets.
Now, what about your escape kit? Was there still issue in them?
We did have, but I never opened it.
Wasn't important to you at the time.
It might have been one day.
But you never looked at it.
Yeah.
Now, so you get your kid.
Oh, next? We did have a flask of coffee. I never did open mine. I didn't want to use the in-flight facilities, because that's the Elfson at the back. And if you can imagine, that if you needed to go to the loo at 20,000 feet, 40 degrees below, could be difficult. So I didn't take any risks that way.
So you didn't drink?
I never did, no.
Did the others use it?
I think most of them avoided. We were also given wakey-wakey tablets.
What about then? I mean, did you take that? I think we call them amphetamines now.
Yes, we do, yes, that's right.
Did you take them?
Occasionally, yes.
And what effect did they have on you?
It just kept you awake. That's all they were supposed to do, but I don't know what else they did to us. But
did they work?
I think so, yes. Oh, I remember, yes, they did work, because we did drop some into somebody's tea one night, which he wasn't very pleased about. And he kept awake. He couldn't go to sleep.
So you picked up your flying kit. What next?
Well, then we'd gather. There'd be a bus or a truck, usually driven by a WAF driver, and she'd take us out to the aircraft. She usually had two crews on board and dropped them at whichever aircraft was nominated.
You'd have your own aircraft, though, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Now, what happened when you got to your aircraft? Were there any superstitions that you would... I mean, some people used to urinate in the back wheel.
They did, but no...
Did your crew have any superstitions?
I don't think we did, actually. I can't remember anything, except that we did have a last cigarette, of course, before we got on board.
But you yourself weren't superstitious, from the sound of it?
No.
So, you got on board. We any last checks? What, you know? You
well, the of course the pilot and the engineer do go through extensive checks. I mean, they walk round with the ground crew and talk to them, and they may say, well, did you fix that something that they complained about before? But we'd be on board and we'd be settling into our positions. And I didn't... I mean, all I had to do was to fit my guns, make
now
sure...
On this flight, were you rear gunner?
No, I was mid-upper.
You'd already swapped?
Yes.
After a couple of flights?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Now, so what happened next then?
Well, I had difficulties in fitting my guns. I mean, they are easy to fit, but I couldn't do it, and I couldn't get them in.
This is the Brownings, really?
The Brownings, yes. You have to slot them in, and for some reason they wouldn't go right home. And so we were already in the... In the circuit queuing up to take off, and so in the end, I called the skipper knew that I had this problem, and so I called an armourer to come, and he came, and he tried for ages. He said, "Well, I can't do it." And the skipper was getting excited because we were holding everybody up. And so I said, "Well, don't worry, I'll fix it when it gets lighter." You know, this was dark. I mean, it was pitch dark. I'll fix it on the way when we get a bit of daylight. So we dropped the armourer before we took off. And off we went.
Anything about the takeoff?
No, a beautiful takeoff. Beautiful takeoff. We had a cookie on board and lots of other mainly high exposure things. But
what's a cookie?
Cookie is a 4,000-pound, looks like a big oil drum. No, not pretty like a bomb, like a tails and no tails, and it was just like an oil drum. 4,000 pounds.
And you had other bombs as well, or just
that? Yes, no, you had lots of 1,000-pounders and.
Now, so what happens on the flight out? What happens there?
On the flight out, of course, I was desperately trying to fit my guns. And to tell you the truth, I never did fit them. I had them in there, but they were loose.
Would they have worked in extreme? I mean, if you were attacked.
Well, I had them loaded. And probably they would have worked, but they would probably have exploded in my face or something, or come out.
This must have worried you on your first real raid.
Yes, it did actually, but it worried me, although I wasn't full of fear, but I probably should have been. It's just that when you're young, you haven't got the imagination. Anyway, we got over the, we got as far as the Rhine.
Now, was there much in the way of German, I mean, up to the Rhine, you're flying over Allied territory.
What you must remember, that the people before D-Day started their enemy's territory from the Channel. I mean, the enemy coast was the other side of the Channel. But after D-Day, as the Allied troops advanced, more and more of the trip was safe.
Which
did make a big difference.
Now, was there much German night fighting or well, air force left?
Well, there was, but they were short of fuel. There was a big shortage of fuel. We had a fighter escort. And they were Mustangs. And they were Polish Mustangs, actually. Well, Polish Air Force flown. And we got as far... We were slightly behind everybody else. And then we had trouble with one of the engines.
What sort of trouble?
I don't know. The skipper said there's a problem with one of the engines.
Did it stop, or was it just...
Well, he had to stop it. He had to, what they call, feather it, which is to stop it from freewheeling. And that was when we were crossing the Rhine. Of course, the Allied troops had only crossed the Rhine not long before. And so we got further and further behind. We were all on our own. All the fighter escort had gone. And in fact, I had a bit of a shock later because I saw a horde of fighter aircraft coming towards me, towards us. But they were the Mustangs coming back. And in fact, I thought, oh, they're going to they're coming back for us. But no, they sail by. So we're on our own again.
But you're out of the bomber stream. You're not in a, you're on your own.
We're on our own. And we've got the Alps on the right-hand side, and that was the first time I'd ever seen the Alps. And it was glorious. It was dawn. It was a glorious dawn over the Alps. Fantastic. And in between us and the Alps, I suddenly saw an aircraft that I recognised. And it was a German jet fighter, the new jet fighter that only came into operation at the end of 1944. And it was the 216 Heinkel, HE-216 Heinkel. Or was it an ME? ME-216.
I thought it was ME, but I don't know.
I think it's ME. Anyway, it was the jet fighter which had started to make an impression, because it was much faster than anything we had. But I suddenly realised he was sort of parallel to us, and then I realised he was getting slightly further away. And there was a big fighter station in Bavaria with these jets. And I think that he was returning to base, running short of fuel, because he just went. I had a slight gulp, but it was all right. And when we got over the target, it was rather nice to find the bombing leader was still there. And he was waiting for us. And he was sort of comforting to see him. And so we dropped the last bomb from Hemsville in World War II.
And how accurately did you drop it?
We dropped it in the middle of all the smoke that was hanging over the barracks, right in the middle.
Just
there was still anti-aircraft fire. But they didn't hit us at all.
And you could see you hit the...
Well, we hit in the middle, yes.
And were you still photographer? Was there still a camera that recorded this?
Some of the aircraft did have cameras. I'm not sure that we did.
Now, tell me about how bad was the German anti-aircraft fire? What was it like being under fire?
It was, of course, it was daylight, so you didn't get all the flashes at night. But the there were sort of harmless puffs of smoke, which you realise were full of horrible things if they got too near to you. It was a bit worrying, because it did make a... make the aircraft shake a bit, yeah.
But none came near you?
Not too near. nothing hit us, no, we just...
And no sign of other aircraft, other than your bomber leader?
That's right.
So what happened next?
Well, he accompanied us for a little while, very kindly. We were slower than him, because we only had three engines, but then he went off. And we didn't have any other incidents on the way back.
Just a routine flight back?
Yeah.
Now, what about when you land, what happens when you land?
Oh, then we go for debriefing.
Now, what's debriefing for you? Is it? Are you all in together, or do they take off the navigator, take off the pilot?
No, we all stand around the table together. And he questions us all in turn.
So you would mention this ME, I think it is ME.
I did, yes.
You mentioned that. And that would be your contribution.
And that would be all of interest, really. I didn't contribute that I hadn't fitted my guns, of course.
Was that ever resolved? What had gone
wrong? Oh, yes, I did. Yes. It was very simple.
What had happened? What had gone wrong?
Well, when they gave them to me from the armoury, they... The retaining wings that they use in the army to they fit them on benches. Someone had put them back, and these wings were tight up, and that's why I couldn't get them in.
As simple as that. So the armourer should have spotted
that. I would have thought the armourer should have noticed that when he came in and looked at it. But of course it was dark, and I suppose he never thought of it. I don't know, but...
So to you, both of you, it was just this sort of weird thing. It always fitted, and now it suddenly didn't, and you just couldn't sort
And I couldn't figure it out. Maybe I should have, but I didn't. There's not much room in the turret to take the guns out and examine them all over. And, you know, there's very little room.
Now, what would you, when you got back, what was it, what they call personal morale, I suppose? How did you feel in yourself? Were you nervous during the flight? Were you excited? I mean, you've been looking forward to this.
I was excited.
You were bombing Hitler. Near Hitler, anyway.
Yeah.
Were you nervous? How did you feel about it?
No, I don't think I was. I was excited. And as I say, I had little quivers of excitement, really, when I saw the Mustangs coming towards me, and I thought, I didn't cotton on that there were ours. And then when I saw this, that was a slightly hairy 5 minutes or so.
But nothing at all. Do you think?
But it's because I'm young.
Very young. How do you think you'd have reacted if it had been on a tour of 30?
Well, you see, that's...
I wondered whether it would get worse or easier.
No, I think it gets... I think if you have... You see, some people had bad experiences where they came back with half the crew dead. Well, I think that has an accumulative effect if they have one or two bad ones. Accumulative effect. And it depends on how... I think married men with wives and children found it more difficult.
And when
simply because their wives found it difficult, I think.
When did you realise you weren't going on anymore?
Well, after that, we did go on six.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, let's tell me what you remember of those. Sorry, I've misunderstood that. I thought that was...
Before the war finished, we had to drop food to the Dutch.
Tell me about that. I've actually heard of that. Tell me about what you were doing.
Very exciting. On the 29th of 29th of April. Yes, 29th of April. We had to load up with food, and they were loaded in the bomb doors. With the bomb doors open, and they'd hang as many as they could, sacks of flour, sides of bacon, no parachutes. Tins of jam and things like that, and flour and food, and then they'd half close the bomb doors, and somebody would put his head up there, and they'd patch things, and he'd load them on the bottom of the bomb door floors, and then they'd close the doors completely, so that when you open the bomb doors, they would all this stuff would fall out. Well, we went over. First time we went was to the Hague, and I think it was an old airfield. Anyway, they had a big white cross. There was a lot of water about because the Germans had flooded parts, and what was exciting was the fact that everybody was out waving Dutch flags, and they were on top of roofs and on top of church towers. In fact, they were sometimes you're looking down on people. We were so low.
So I was going to ask about the altitude.
Had to go as low as possible.
So how low was that, roughly?
Well, it was only a few hundred feet, if we were, yes.
200 or 300
Four. Yes. And or less sometimes. And we, the German air, German anti-aircraft gunners were following us round.
Oh, you were under fire then as well?
No, they weren't firing. They were just following us. There was a truce. There had been a truce. Actually, the truce wasn't officially on the 29th. It didn't, they didn't actually agree until about the 1st of May. because the Dutch commander and Prince Bernhard, borrowed a, well, commandeered a big German staff car and rode out to meet this German commander. And he was being awkward and said, you know, we don't know what they're going to do. Then these bombers have dropped bombs on us. And he said, no, it will be food. And he reminded him, he said, the war's going to be over soon. And we're going to remember whether you're cooperative or not. And so in the end, he gave way to a truce. And in fact, he was hung. He ended up being hung at the end, so he didn't get away with it. He was a bad man. And
now, you hadn't done any other, because you mentioned once where you were only to bomb if you could see.
Oh, well, yes, that was on Bremen. Bremen. Bremen?
Tell us about that one, then.
Bremen was, it would have been, it was when the troops were outside Bremen.
Earlier, a little earlier.
Earlier than that. It would have been, it would have been in April, actually.
Now, that was in support of the troops?
Yes.
Now, tell me about that effort.
Well, we were told not to drop anything unless we could see the ground because the troops were moving so rapidly. There was no guarantee that they'd they were still in the same place. And in fact, the ground was covered in low cloud. We got the order to come back. So we brought everything back.
So that's why there's nothing really to tell, because nothing, it didn't happen.
We got there, but...
Now, did you do more than one of these low-level Dutch...
Oh, I did six, yes.
Six.
All the others were Rotterdam. And I suppose the exciting thing was seeing all these people waving flags. Where they got all the flags from? And there were, they wrote messages. There was one which said, you know, welcome Tommy. Welcome Tommy. Being from the First World War experience. And another said, bring cigarettes. and I remember all these notes came up. And they were waving like mad. And it was a wonderful... a wonderful feeling, you know. Only what week before we dropped bombs on Bertha's garden, and then we were dropping all this food. Some of the stuff split, but most of it was all
right.
It
was considered a success, though.
Oh, it was. Oh, yes.